In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Thank you, Jesus. We've come to behold your face, your face, your face. We've come to behold your face, your face, behold our face. We've come to behold your face, your face. Your face, we've come to behold your face, your face, behold your face. Come on, lift your voice and sing.
To behold your face, your face, your face. We've come to behold your face. Your face, behold your face.
Sing it one more time.
We've come to behold your face.
We've come to behold your face.
Your face.
That is what we've come to do.
We've come to behold your face, your face. We've come to behold your face, behold your face.
Come on, sing it again.
We've come to behold your face.
We've come to behold your face, your face, your face in the Word. We've come to behold your face, your face. God, I'm here just to hear word, your word, hear your word. God, I'm just to hear your word, to hear your word. Listen, God, I'm here just to hear word, your word. Hear your word. We got out here just to hear word, your word, to hear your word. We've come to behold,
we've come to behold your face, your face. We've come to behold.
Sing it one more time.
We've come to behold your face, your face, your face. We've come to behold your face, your face, behold your face.
The Bible says that as we behold him, we are transformed. What we are beholding is the glory of God. The glory of God is Jesus. The glory of God simply means all that God is and have. All of that is embodied in Jesus. And Jesus is the Word of God. So every time you listen to the word of God taught, every time you open the word of God to read, you are beholding the glory of God. You are beholding his face. And immediately there is a transformation going on. The transformation of the word of God is so powerful and so subtle that you will not know you are being changed. It's after a while you realize that you have been forced to pick up new habits because of the programming of the word of God. That's how you know when the word of God has changed a man. And that's what will happen to us today. You believe it, shout a louder amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight. Break the bread of your word to your people. Open our understanding. Let our hearts be open to believe. Show us the things that are not seen, so that we can move to where we ought to be. And let your name be glorified. Let strongholds be broken off our lives. Strongholds are limitations that the enemy places on men due to ignorance. Let every stronghold operating silently in the mind of my listeners today be brought down and collapsed by the revelation of your word. And let your name be glorified. As I teach your word to your people, let the sick be healed. Address the issues in their lives. Let miracles begin to happen now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you know that I didn't just make a recitation, but I prayed to the living God, shout a louder amen. Would you clap your hands for Jesus? I didn't tell you to stop clapping. Clap your hands for the King of Kings. Is he worthy of your praise? Hallelujah. You can greet just one or two people beside you. Welcome them to Pneumatech. Want to welcome those who are following from their homes via the internet. God bless you and do you good in Jesus' name. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. So much for us to cover tonight, but trust me, this is one message that really applies to our life, and somebody will be excited by what they will receive today. Not only excited at what you receive, but excited at the change that it will command in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Sunday is here with his wife. Please help give them a big God bless you. Is that the best you can do for Pastor Sunday? God bless you. Thank you, sir, for coming. Mama, you're welcome. Pastor Sunday Asekame is the assistant resident pastor of Living Faith Church, state headquarters. Let's give him a big God bless you once more. Amen. So happy to have you, and happy birthday, by the way. Amen. If you want to clap, don't pretend to clap. Those people at the back there. Those people at the back. Hallelujah. You are dressed like the apostle. Amen. It's good to see you, sir. Good to see you, ma. Thank you for sharing fellowship with us. Amen. And I want to encourage every one of us. I know for some reasons, maybe financial reasons, maybe one of the reasons why a lot of people don't get to make it to church every week. And because of that, I want to encourage those of us who are here by the grace of God to encourage your friends and family members who cannot come, or who are not consistent because of finances. God has helped us to ensure that buses are provided for people to come. Amen. So every Sunday there are buses plying some of the major routes in town. And we hope that you will take advantage of that and be in the presence of God so that God can continue his work of transformation in your life. So if finances where the problem, that problem has been solved. Amen. I know some of us who live around where students are, you will not want to join the bus for reputational reasons. That you are sitting in a bus filled with students doesn't make you a student, okay? And say, I forgo, but the only students, they dear. No. You are a child of God. That's what matters, okay? You have to be conscious of your identity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sit in that bus so that one day you can pay for buses to move people. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, saying that just reminds me of something. And I want to bring it here. During the week, I got quite a number of messages from people who wrote JAMB. Now, JAMB is a unified matriculation exam for people who want to move into higher institutions in Nigeria. Okay? Just for people who are watching from America. They have their own SAT and the rest. And of course, you know what the prayers will be for. Pray. And I heard that there was huge failure. Massive failure. While we can go back and find out why we failed, perhaps some people didn't read sufficiently, or some people were afraid, or for some other reasons that you may not be able to explain, I think it's time for us to begin to learn how to deal with failure and how to handle ugly situations and circumstances. If I tell you that the life of a believer is always going to be good every day, I'll be lying. You know I've never preached that. In fact, if you are consistent here, you know that the messages here applies to what people go through. All right? But we need to learn how to deal with failure. As a child of God, when you encounter a situation where you failed, first of all, don't label yourself as a failure. To fail is to get the wrong attempt. But to be a failure is to quit attempting. It means you have resigned to your fate, F-A-T-E. You have decided based on the circumstance at hand and based on your experience, you have concluded that you are a failure. But you are not a failure. Because greater is He that is in you. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. The quality of the life of God that is in you makes you surmount every limitation possible. And it keeps you victorious regardless of the outcome of the situation. Whether you pass or you fail, you are victorious. Whether you get it or you didn't get it, you remain victorious. You remain more than a conqueror. Your identity in life should be drawn from the understanding of who you are in Christ. And learn to keep that in your mind, even when situations go south. Don't don't conclude on your life or write off your life based on your experiences. Your experiences should not define your existence. Your experiences should be the product of the understanding that you have sustained of who you are. That's the reason why scientists, even when they have failed experiments, they go back to repeat the experiments again. Because they have this assurance that all the theories and the laws they have followed to that point assures them that this is correct. Or somehow, it will turn positive. Do we hear what I'm saying? Very, very important. Many people just, some will even collapse. He lost the job. I heard of somebody who they said he lost his job. And I think his house was demolished almost the same period. And he just collapsed. And I get it, the pain of losing so much. But you see, when you go through hard times, or when you go through unforeseen circumstances like that, that's when you need to sit down and, what's the word I wanted to use again? You need to reevaluate your concept of reality. Is your reality what you are facing now? Is your reality your experiences? Or is your reality the understanding that you have sustained? Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he begins to list everything possible that can get you to quit and give up on God. He says, shall famine, shall persecution, shall peril, shall nakedness. There are people who will not come to church because they don't have clothes, or because they don't want to repeat the cloth of last week. I will come when I've sown a new one. It's a shame that that's your concept of reality. You need to sustain an understanding about life that is beyond anything in the physical that can be manipulated, so that your focus is unbroken and your trust in God is resolute. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not explaining it the way I want to, because I'm trying to look for words. But I just hope that in this place, God will help me impart into you the things that I've learned from God and I've sustained, that makes me know that I'm more than a conqueror. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you fail this jam, you'll pass another one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes the failures of today propels and prepares you for the victories of tomorrow. And so we must be resolute. Don't give in to depression and discouragement. Just some, for some people, it's so easy. Anything can discourage them. Just anything. Even the fact that they don't have food to go back to eat this night when they live here has already squeezed their face and made it like raining season. And if you are like that here, we have food for you. We have rice and other things. Eh? Just find any of the ushers and talk to them. We'll prepare. There's a package for you after. Since, if that is what will make you smile. No, I'm serious. You are here and you don't have food to eat at all. Don't worry. There's a package, a full package for you. I will even add money, so that you can sit down and listen to the word of God. Did she come because she's looking for welfare? That's just a joke. Amen? But I want us to sustain that. Sustain a consistent, victorious mindset. Every day. You fail an exam or you pass, you are victorious. You get a job or you didn't get it, you are still victorious. You fail in ministry or you succeed, you are victorious. You know, in fact, success can even be a problem. You know, there's what I call success syndrome. There's a success sickness in the body of Christ now. Can you hear me clearly? Because it's not clear to my hearing, you know. Success sickness. We are sick of wanting to always produce result and be successful. I'm not against being successful, okay. But there's this sickness that if we don't succeed, we are doomed. No. No. The reason why I can say that you are destined to succeed as a believer is because you are one with Christ, and it's because you have the nature of God in you. It is because of that that you are destined to succeed. Whether you succeed today or you succeed tomorrow, you will eventually succeed. Not because of the results you produce, but because of the nature that is in you. God called us to be. He didn't call us to do. Every command in the kingdom is a be command, not do. Not do. It is not by doings that you can rate or discover the nature of people. No. Moses performed a miracle and God was not happy. If you think it's all about miracles. I'm not talking now on success. So I hope you know. Just last week was miracle service. You saw everything that happened here. So don't think I'm saying don't know. But deliver yourself from that sickness. Have the same mind when you hit a jackpot and when you have nothing. Yeah, that's when I know you have matured. As I'm standing here now, you don't know how much is in my account. Abi? That is how it should be. If, for instance, now, maybe I have 10 million in my account, and because of that I'm so happy, and then it will, and then I allow it to influence my preaching. It means I'll only be able to preach to rich people, because I'll be preaching based on my results. And it's okay to preach based on your results. It's okay to preach your results, but preach your results to confirm your revelation. Don't preach from result. Let your result be the confirmation of your revelation. Because in the school of the spirit, there is a time when you will not have the results, but you have the revelation. And God will allow you to go through that time. God's servant Bishop Oyedepo, I heard his testimony. He said one time that he told somebody, he said, God blessed me with a fantastic car. What's the car? Volkswagen Beetle. The person said, God forbid, in Yoruba. But the way he saw the Beetle is the same way he sees the Rolls Royce he's driving. And when you look at him, you just see a man that is so blessed, but he's not aware of how blessed he is. Because he's more conscious of a revelation that is inside of him. One time, he said that the reason why he likes wearing white, many people don't know, is because white does not fade. So it's economical. So you will not know whether he has repeated it. He said it with his mouth. I heard him. That's supposed to be the world's richest pastor. There's something we need to learn in this kingdom. Because you have to learn it now, because there are this world is filled with problems. Jesus said in this world you will have tribulation. I'm telling you, you are just seeing the measure of it. More is to come. If you think poverty is a problem, riches will come and show you greater problem. When you didn't have money, nobody's looking at your face. You struggled with hunger and lack. Now that you have money, everybody in the village is going to a shrine with your name. And almost every headache that you feel every day, you are suspecting somebody is doing something with your name. But God has called us to peace. He said, my peace do I give to you. Not as the world gives. The world thinks that peace and security is in having so much money and having all your needs met. That's not security. It's good to get to that point where your needs are met, so you can focus on what is important, God. So that when you go to pray and you tell God you love him, you are not telling him because you hope that he will give you some money. You mean it. But the peace of God is a revelation and an understanding of contentment and security, eternal security in Christ. Whether I'm poor today or I'm rich tomorrow, whether I'm rich today or I'm poor tomorrow, nothing changes this fact about my life. When you get to that point, you will live in peace. You will not need anybody to motivate you to serve God. Even in the midst of situations, you will be consistent. You will continue. That's what the early apostles and the church knew. And they were able to suffer persecution and even die and still not deny their faith. If they bring those persecutions then now, I'm telling you, out of the 2. Something billion Christians, maybe 2 billion would deny instantly. But that's where I want us to get to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's get ready to receive tonight. In Jesus' name. And may God bring you to that peace that I talk about. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pick up your jotters, your Bibles. Let's get to the word. Because of whom you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of whom you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of
because of whom you are. Sing because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of whom you are,
because of who you are,
I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are,
sing it one more time.
Because of who you are,
because of who you are,
I give you glory. Oh, because of who you are,
because of who you are,
I give you praise.
Oh.
Just what you have done.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
We start a series today, maybe end 2 Sundays from now, 3 Sundays from now. And it's on financial supply. So the title of the series is Financial Supply, but I will give you the topic for today's teaching. I believe that the Bible should make sense in our world today. We should not only preach and reveal Jesus to people, but show God's perspective about what is happening in our world. The word of God must be life applicable when you teach it. You must address the situation of people's lives. There's something that God has to say for why people are going through what they are going through. And that is one of the reasons that has informed this teaching. We would have done this teaching since last year, but God perhaps was schooling me to understand more. And even now I can't say I know everything, but at least I'll be able to communicate truth at a level that is accurate. And then we'll trust God to go to higher levels of truth. Poverty is one of the things that we deal with in our world today. As a matter of fact, if you research, it was predicted that Nigeria in this year 2025, we have over 54% of the population living below the poverty line. Over 75% of people who live in rural areas and villages are poor. And over 40% of people who live in urban areas and cities are poor. Poverty is lack of financial resources for an individual or for a people to live, improve their standard of living, and to get by. It's one of the monsters that the world is facing. As a matter of fact, among the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the 17 of them, what is topping the chart is poverty. And so every institution in the world is at war with this force. And the devil has weaponized poverty in these last days to cause a lot of havoc. And our gospel cannot be complete without showing you the kingdom's way out of this misery. I understand that, yes, a lot of things have happened on social media recently, and we need to understand how to correct something. It's one thing to stay by the edge of the road, but it's another thing to come to the middle. If we claim that there is nothing like poverty addressed by the gospel, we are standing at the edge of the road. We are on one extreme. At the same time, if we think that embracing poverty will make us exhibit a form of piety, if we think that poverty has a way of sanctifying our Christianity, we are still staying at the other side. Now, what you see on social media, and that's why I don't live your life depending on looking at what happens on social media. Many of the outcry on social media is people trying to pour their grievances, either due to a lack, a consistent lack of certain things in their life, or due to gross ignorance. Remember, the Bible says gross darkness will cover the people. So when you go on social media, be careful when you see a message. Maybe a minister made a wrong comment, and then you see on the comment section, everybody is just firing him, firing him, firing him. If you think that because majority is firing him for that comment, he is wrong. You can be wrong. Because the Bible says gross darkness will cover the people. It may be that all of them may be wrong. You see, that's the thing. Majority does not, when it comes to truth and reality in the kingdom, majority does not count. When it comes to expansion, spreading, increase, influence, majority may count in the kingdom. But when it comes to truth, a whole generation can be wrong. For if they had known, they would not have crucified. That was an entire generation. They were wrong. So, when we correct things in the body of Christ, let's not think that going the other way, the other extreme, will correct it. No. Let's trust God for the wisdom and sufficient knowledge of Scripture. As a man of God, before you stand to teach anything, make sure you have sufficient knowledge of what it is in the Word of God first. Know it so well. Excuse me. I remember a few years ago when we were to do a series on financial dominion. I say this, and I tell you the truth, between God and man, I had to study nothing less than 100 scriptures on financial possibility in the kingdom. You need to know it well enough. Insufficient truth is also a problem. If you carry insufficient truth to correct somebody, you are also wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it is true that the gospel is not about riches and poverty. It's about God's love for mankind and the redemption that it has produced. However, in that work of redemption, which is in the core aspect of the gospel, God addresses poverty, because God knows that poverty, since the fall of man, has been a major issue that has dealt with men from every generation. And that's part of what we are going to share. So, for many of us who are trusting God to increase in the area of finances, or who have been battling with poverty, with lack, and with insufficiency. You know, there are three, those three are different. Poverty, lack, insufficiency. Insufficiency is you have, but it's not enough. You are still in trouble. Lack is for a moment in no day, then later a day, then tomorrow in no day again. There are some people whose life is like that. Today they have money, tomorrow they don't have. Some of them live from paycheck to paycheck. Some of them are salary earners. So at the middle of the month, it has finished. And they will wish that apostle will bring miracle service to the middle of the month because they are broke now. That is lack. Yes, you have, but God doesn't want you to live in that cycle. In the kingdom, there is such a thing as a realm of abundance. It will just keep going from one level to the other. But at no point should you entertain lack. At least your basic needs should be met. It is true. It doesn't mean that if you lack, you are not a Christian. No. It doesn't mean that if you lack now, you are not anointed. No, you are still anointed. You are still a very useful vessel in the hands of God. The problem is that you are poor. And God wants to handle that problem. Do you believe that? So that's why we are on this series. So please open your ears. It will benefit the poor and the rich. Some of you think that you have now. Thank God. But when I open your eyes from scripture, you will know that where you are is still not enough. In the kingdom of God, there are four standards of living for every believer on earth. There are four standards of living. Not enough. You're always experiencing lack and poverty. You are always believing God for miracle. Even when you have, you are afraid to share it because that may be the last you will have for the next 2 weeks. So your blood pressure is always on the brink of rising. When you go around, you are careful not to do anything to offend anybody. You are careful not to hit somebody's car. Do you know why people who ride tricycle, keke napep, as they call it in Nigeria. You know, if they hit your car and you come down, all they can give you is begging. I hope you know. So the keke man will pray before going out that God, let me not hit a car. You know, there are motors and there are cars. When you hit a car, that what you hit can buy you whole of your keke. Amen. So that's the first standard, not enough. It will make you prone to begging. Poverty is still in your house. You are still wrestling with poverty. Then there is another standard of living called just enough. Enough to go by your basic needs. To ensure that you are not crying because of lack of basic needs. Food, shelter, and clothing. Then there is more than enough. You have that you can even spread abroad. You can show people that God is good, not because God appeared to them, but because God came through you and blessed them. Do you know that there is a joy for people who give? There is a kind of joy you will feel when you bless people. That, with all due respect, and I'm not saying this to classify or categorize people in church, but let's just understand that there are rich people and there are poor people. And all of them can still serve God. God can still hear them, but they are rich and some are poor. There is a kind of joy that a poor man cannot feel. No, I'm telling you. The joy that comes from knowing that you are a lifesaver. Somebody's rent wants to expire and there is no job, no salary, nothing. In fact, the relatives of that person, they are all broke. How much is the rent? And then you step in. And what looks like an impregnable wall of Jericho, you step in and you just brush it aside. That joy, a poor man cannot feel it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The person may have been praying for 5, 4, 3 hours. You didn't need to pray. You just transferred. And you took care of demons. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are poor, you can't feel that. There is a joy. I'm telling you, we pray to get there. When we talk about in our I Am confession, when we say I am a way maker, do you know what it means? When somebody's influence can get you a job, when they've shut the door. I heard the story of a man of God. Two of his music ministers were traveling to go and minister somewhere, and they got to the airport and there was no flight going where they were going. And the program was that evening. And they had already made up their mind that, you know what, we'll just miss. And this is a major program that will announce them. Let's just forget it. We've missed it. But before they will leave, make we call Papa, tell and say, we'll know if you go, see what thing happen. And then they call Papa, say, Papa, there's no flight. We are coming back home. We say, what? Papa say, okay, just remain where you are. I'll call you back. 10 minutes later, Papa calls them back and say, move from where you are to the private wing of the airport. And they got there and a plane was waiting that took them to where they were going and brought them back. The last I checked, it cost $8,000 to charter a flight for 1 hour. You say, poor man will not understand why you spend $8,000 is how much? It's about 10. Come help me with this. It's about 10 or around 10 million. A poor man will look at that and say, that money will change my life. But a rich man says, that money will help me change the life of others. It will save my time. Let me go to where I'm going to. All right? Maybe you need to lose this. Just lose that. Take it off. See, we need to change the pulpit too, so that it will not look like we are poor. Amen? When we bought the pulpit, there was the original glass, so they removed it. Now this one is aluminum. So we need to buy the one that there is nothing like it. It just, the glass is curved. Eh? Yeah, I'm using it because of what I'm teaching about. By the way, the teaching tonight is faith for supernatural supply. I've discovered that faith is one of the force in the kingdom that can move you from these standards of living to a higher standard. From not enough to just enough, from just enough to more than enough, from more than enough to much more than enough. That's a place we need to aim for if we need to do things for God in these end times. If you want to feed the poor, if you want to set the captive, some people, their captivity is not demons. Some people, their captivity is lack of money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some young men listening to me now, once you mention marriage, they are afraid because of lists. That person that say, hi, are you among them? That's just a joke. I don't even know who said that. Amen. It's the truth. So somebody who should get married at 29 is getting married at 43. Because that's how long it took him to grow to a point where he can take care of least. But when you hear the teaching tonight and you understand the power that faith commands, you'll be able to move yourself from lack and from poverty, from having not enough, to a place where you are more than enough. Somebody say amen to that. Faith for supernatural finances. Faith for supernatural supply. Psalms 23 from verse 1 to 2. Let's rush now. Psalms 23 from verse 1 to 2. It's on the screen. I want us to read it together at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. The Lord. Wait. Go back and read it again. 1, 2, go. Let's read verse 2. Continue. He makes me to lie down in green. That's abundance. He leads me. You know what that means? A sheep cannot drink from a river that flows very fast. They can only drink from stream. Sheep don't drink from a river. They drink from a stream. The water is flowing smoothly, nicely, and slow. You know what that means? That means God wants to improve the quality of your life to a point where you don't have to hustle and be on the fast lane to make money. He wants to show you an easy way to make money and live as you are blessed. You catch it, somebody say amen to that. He leads me beside So these Psalms shows us God's providence for his people. The Bible says in Psalms 100 and in verse 5, he said, "For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So God provides for his people, for his sheep. God has made available resources. Before God began the redemptive work of man, God ensured that man should not lack. Whether he is born again or not, from creation, everything that God created shows you that God never intended for man to experience poverty. Born again or not. And so this gospel that we preach, that professes redemption, something should be in it that should give hope to a poor. Because if you get the sinner saved and they are still poor, chances are that sin. But if you get them saved and reassure them that the back end of the truth that got you saved can prosper you, then that is truly hope and assurance indeed. Psalms 10. Psalms 34 verse 9 to 10. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. No want. There is what?
No.
There is what?
No want.
To those who? He said the young lions lack and suffer hunger. Even as a lion, they can still suffer hunger. He said, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any. That means that there is an advantage in seeking God. You are not supposed to seek God and still be bothering of what you will eat. No. He said, but those who seek the Lord should not want. God ensured that divine provision is part of the gospel, so that when you are saved and you are growing in the knowledge of God, when you are getting to know God, it would, the issue of settling rent and all of these things will not become a major issue in your life. God doesn't want you to pursue him because of what he can give you. Yes, there are many things he can give you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he can give us all things. In fact, the Bible says all things are ours. But so that you can concentrate on the important things, there is a fraction, a segment in the gospel that we preach that takes care of the livelihood of God's people. It is true. I know that you may not be going through, you may be going through stuff now. You may be experiencing lack. Your life, sometimes when we preach, your life may look the opposite of what we are proposing. But be that as it may, regardless of what you are going through, believe first of all that it is true, that the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. The Bible says even the lions, I saw a picture somewhere, they drew a lion and then they put a write-up under. Maybe the lion was the one who made the statement. He said, even if there is no animal in the jungle, I will not eat grass. That's the lion boasting. One animal or the other must pay the price. If there's no animal in the bush, I will enter the water. But I can't eat grass. But the Bible says even lions, as skillful as they are in hunting, they can suffer hunger. He said, but those who seek God shall not lack any good thing. I prophesy to somebody that believes that in the name of Jesus, you have entered a season where you will experience good things. You believe it, shout a louder amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it is my season of good things. Psalms 37 verse 25 to 27. Psalms 37 verse 25 to 26 rather. Hallelujah. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants. That's why I believe that begging is anti-Christian. I'm not saying once in a while you don't ask, but when it is consistent, I believe it is anti-covenant, it is anti-Christian, it is anti-Christ, it is anti-God. Yes. When begging becomes a lifestyle, I don't care what you say. When begging becomes a lifestyle, hear me very well. I didn't say if you beg once, you are an antichrist. Some people are just lashing out on people on social media as a way of dissipating their pain because they are broke. And it's not another person's fault for why you are where you are. That's why you are receiving the truth of God's word, so that you can, by yourself, with the help of God, transport yourself from where you are to where God wants you to be. It is never anybody's fault that you are where you are. No matter how it looks. Why? Because when you sustain accurate understanding from the word of God, you will now know when the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. If begging is a lifestyle, if you can't stay a week without begging, to sustain, begging, to live, it is anti-covenant, it is anti-Christian, it is anti-Christ, it is anti-God. It doesn't in any way represent God at all. Otherwise, this Bible is not true. Because all you will see in that Bible, yes, Jesus was a friend to sinners. He was a friend to the poor. But all through the life of Jesus, we see how money. Jesus would have allowed them to arrest him when he couldn't pay temple tax. Abi? And just to show that narrow is the way, poor is the way that leads to life. Jesus had strong people around him that had resources, and the day they were not around, he switched to the faith mode. He said, Peter, go to the sea, throw your hook. The first fish you catch, open the mouth, you'll see gold. That means God has so supplied for my living and my existence on earth that if human beings are no longer around to provide, God will start using animals. That's not the first time. He sent ravens, even in famine. He sent a hungry bear to provide food for the prophet. That's why Elijah was strong enough to shout at Ahab in famine. If Elijah was broke and suffering the famine, he would not even have the strength to prophesy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you here or you are somewhere? Now, Percy, when they suffer hunger, and I go say, King, you are evil. And if you don't stop, you are going to hell. Is somebody that doesn't know poverty and hunger that can say that? God never. In fact, God so prepared abundance that even before the born again concept came, man was living in abundance. Adam was not born again. But God told Adam, he said, all the trees and the fruit I've made for you to eat. Eat all, but don't eat this one. So it was not lack of fruit that made Adam fail. It was rebellion. Let's finish the reading. I've not seen the righteous forsaking or his seed beg bread. Your children will not beg in the name of Jesus. Regardless of the poverty ratio in the world today, regardless of the crumbling of economies and the uncertainty of the future of many nations, I decree and declare, wherever your seed are, they are the seed of Abraham. They will never beg one day in their life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. My children, my children's children will never beg. Open your mouth and pray for 1 minute. Open your mouth and prophesy. No weapon of poverty fashioned against my generation will prosper. My descendants are blessed. The Bible says his seed shall be mighty on the earth. The descendant of the upright is blessed. It says wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Your children, your children's children will never beg. Jesus did not die for your descendants to live in poverty. Jesus did not die for the curse of poverty to remain. I want you to pray and determine their destiny.
never, not now, not in the future, even when I'm not alive again, no one bearing my name, no one carrying my blood, no seed of mine will beg again. The poverty stopped with me. The suffering ended with me. I release. I feel like we should just take this time to pray. Prophesy over your children. Forget about what's happening now. Prophesy. Prophesy. You may not have the resources now, but your words can propel them into a desired future. Your words can create a favorable future for them. Hallelujah. Please be seated. It's a good prayer to pray every day. Pray it very well. Whether I'm alive or not, my generation to the third and fourth will never beg any other thing but poverty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Refuse it. The suffering should end with you. I'm the last sacrifice, just like Jesus. After him, there was no other sacrifice to be made. And train your children, those of you who are married, and those of you who get married. See, especially those of you who are not married, in fact, you even have time. Start from now. Start creating the teachings you will teach your children. Teach them about salvation so that they can know the Lord. Teach them about holiness, but teach them about prosperity. Indoctrinate them to know that this world was given to them. The Bible says that in Christ Jesus are ye Abraham's seed. Tell them that God gave this earth to Abraham, and you are a seed of Abraham. You cannot be poor anywhere. Tell them that. That even if everything around you crash, there's somebody who was blessed by God for the purpose of ensuring that you are standing. Tell them that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I grew up in a very godly home. We didn't have prosperity, as it were, but we had God. My elder brother is here. A home where from small you have to learn how to fast and pray for certain things to come. Abisa. They used to go and watch TV. Then I was not born. They used to go and watch TV in the neighbor's house. And when they come back, they will give them the beating of their life. So one day their old man said, if you want TV in your house, pray and tell God to bring TV. And they fasted and prayed and the TV came. And that's how we were brought up. It was by faith everything will come. So me now, I must take advantage of this faith equation very well to produce abundance. Some parents feel that when you show your children too much money, they will become spoiled. It depends on the training. Teach them to work hard and to earn. Teach them the dignity of labor. But let them be born into riches, that there is money. It's just that Papa and Ma learned something this period. That's why he didn't give me much. But money day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Never you grow children that will entertain lack. It's a dehumanizing mentality. Poverty is a human trafficker. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's dehumanizing. You say child abuse. Poverty is one of it too. Some people have been more abused by poverty even to their adulthood. Refuse it. Refuse it. Refuse it till your life no longer has it. Can we enter the teaching now? Okay, let's finish verse 26. He says, he is ever merciful. This is how the righteous should be. He is ever merciful and lends. And his descendants are what? Ever merciful. It's not only God that can show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does it mean to be merciful? You are owing me 350,000.
Kai, but this one that you don't have a job and is, I'm sure you, before you'll be able to pay this money, but I know you are a hardworking person. So you know what? I forgive you the debt. Or take, pay me in 1 year time. And then a few months later, you call the person and say, you know that money, forget it. I just needed you to balance that period and continue. Ever merciful. The Bible says that the wicked borrows and does not pay back. Let me choke some people now. The next time you find somebody who borrows and is not paying is a wicked man, according to scripture. Please, media, look for that scripture for me. I don't care even if he's a deacon in church. There are people in church that they will owe seven people at once. They will owe everybody in their department, in the workforce. When they are finished owing everybody there, they will jump to another department. Owe everybody there. Borrowing like that. See, you know, there's something called, there are people called serial killers. These ones are serial borrowers. The Bible says if you live that kind of life, you are wicked. He said, but the righteous showeth mercy. Let me tell you the truth. Listen, if you are here, please, if you are owing anybody, the first thing you should think of is how to pay that debt. How to pay that debt. You want to get married, young lady, first of all, pay everybody you are owing. You know, it's foolish when people are owing others. I'm owing you, and then I go and get married. Which money I use marry? That I couldn't pay my debt first. This is the point where when you preach in church, somebody say, he's preaching me, it's your business. Then repent. Then repent. The Bible says, owe no man anything. Romans 13 verse 8. Owe no man anything. And all the singles here. The next time, if I'm doing counseling from now, the next thing I'll ask, you want to get married? Yes. How many people are you owing? Write their list. Because if you are owing a righteous man, if you are owing a child of God, God is not happy with you. Yes. You are going to God asking God for money for wedding, but that guy, as he's going to God every day, God is seeing that he's not happy. Because of what you are owing him. And because of what you are owing him, he's not having good fellowship with God. And God is interested in having fellowship with him. So God will come to you and say, pay back my son. My son, pay back my son. Is it not? It's criminal now. It's criminal. It's criminal. For whatever reason, things are hard, I understand. But even if you can't, make effort. Let the people, you see, there's a way somebody sees that you're making effort and the person call you and say, you know what, I forgive you, go. That won't be your portion in Jesus' name. All right, let's run. Faith for supernatural supplies. There are two stories in the scripture drawn from the life of Jesus Christ that showed us how that Jesus demonstrated that the kingdom he represented, or the kingdom he came to establish, was a kingdom of abundance. We see these two stories from the very life of Jesus. The first story is John chapter 6 verse 1 to 12. Where Jesus fed 5,000 men. The Bible told us that they had just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And Jesus gave thanks to God with it and it multiplied. The second story is Matthew chapter 17 verse 24 to 27. Where Jesus was almost arrested in the temple because he didn't pay tax. Even though he was not supposed to pay tax. Because he was a citizen of the nation of Israel. That's what he explained there. He said, are the sons not free? And then told Peter to go to the sea, catch fish, bring out gold from the mouth of the fish. And he told Peter, I say, use it to pay for me and you. Many other instances in Jesus' life that demonstrated that Jesus came to establish a kingdom that believed in abundance, that God believes in the prosperity of his people, that God does not want to entertain impoverishment, poverty, and lack. It is not God's fault that people are poor. Hardly will you see a man and you say God is trying to teach him a lesson by making him poor. No. Except if that man broke certain laws that governs provision, prosperity, and abundance in the kingdom. And the best way to humble the man is to allow him go through a season of lack, so that he can learn lessons, acquire virtue, and then prosper again. But God will not use poverty to punish any of his children. The kingdom that we serve, the kingdom that we represent, that we are citizens of, is a kingdom of abundance. There are four stages in the life of God's people for provision, for livelihood, for sustenance. I draw this from the children of Israel. Four different seasons in the life of a child of God that shows you how God ensures they are provided for. You want to know it? The first was when there was famine in the whole world, when Joseph was in Egypt. And Jacob heard that there was bread in Egypt. There was famine in Canaan, but there was bread in Egypt. So what did God do? God created space and accommodation and favor for Jacob and his people, so that they could be accepted into Egypt. And that's why I believe that sometimes Japa can be God's answered prayer to somebody's life of poverty and misery. For some people, until you Japa, you will not be able to lay hold on the abundance that God has given to you. I said some people, not everybody. Because some people here, this is one of the ways. God knew that if they remain in Canaan, they would die. So come to the place where there is abundance. In Psalms 105 verse 16 to 24, you see that story narrated and documented there. I want to read that scripture. Psalms 105 verse 26, verse 16 to 24. It says, moreover, he called for a famine in the land. Who called for the famine? God. He destroyed all the provision of bread, but he had a plan for his children. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Do you ever think that a slave can become a door, an open door to abundance and provision? Do you ever believe that a slave can become a system for preservation and sustenance? Does that not relate to you? Just keep the scripture. But if you think about this scripture in modern times, does it not talk to you about slavery? How black men were sold from Africa to European nations into slavery. And finally they gained their freedom there. And they became citizens of those nations. And because of black existence in some of these nations, some of you from Nigeria, from African nations now can japa there and find a society created for them. Because there's one of your own already there. Does it make sense? So sometimes this exodus of people can be God's way of sustaining his people. There are families where they have a brother abroad, they have a sister, an uncle, somebody, a relative abroad. And I tell you, if not for the dollars that those people are sending, the families would have died of hunger in Africa. Since some of our nations are still waiting for aid, give us aid. Aid that will never reach the masses. Aid that some wicked and unscrupulous people will pocket in their agbada. Instead of you to ask for machines that will come and improve industrialization and the economy of your nation, is aid so that you can pocket it for your children's children. That's why God can look at a family and say, no, if I leave this family like this, poverty will deal with them. Then he takes one from there to Sweden, to England, and he blesses that one there. And that one now becomes a pillar of support. That is a method of divine provision. Are you hearing me this night? Let's finish up. They sold Joseph as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The word of God can change a man's life. Oh. From a slave, the king made him go free. Next verse. And he made him lord of his house. From a slave to a lord. From a servant to a ruler. And ruler of all his possessions. To bind his princes at his pleasure. And teach his elders wisdom. Joseph had become a great man. Israel also came into Egypt. And Jacob dwelt in a foreign land, the land of Ham. Go on. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. That's why you will see somebody will travel to another nation and begin to survive and prosper. And then he will bring his brother, bring his sister. And after many years, you will see they have built a black community there. And you see them prospering in a land that they are strangers. Why? It's one of God's strategy for ensuring provision. If he leaves them in that location, they will die. So God can remedy their situation by bringing them into another place. That means God can sustain and bless you in a foreign land. You don't have to be an indigent to prosper. Number two. Now Israel is in Egypt. I hope you know that Egypt too, there was abundance in Egypt. They didn't leave Egypt because they were poor necessarily. They left because they were slaves and because God had made a covenant with Abraham. There was abundance in Egypt. Genesis 45, let me show you something. Genesis 45, verse 17 to 20. Even in Egypt, God can sustain his people and make them multiply and enjoy abundance. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart and go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take cats of the land of Egypt for you, for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Verse 20 and the last. Also do not be concerned about your goods. You know what he told them? Don't pack too much load. Just come. For the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. When was the last time that you packed out of a house and you didn't carry anything? You just carried your clothes to the new house. God will do it for somebody in the name of Jesus. Somebody will be suffering to tie mattress that has the rat has eaten and shared with a squirrel. Share even the cat that they bought to eat the rat. Is enjoying from the abundance of the mattress. You know when you see people packing? Poverty. You see chair, when they pack it and put on the jagger, you see one side of the chair, it has torn up, but they are still packing it. Pharaoh said, don't pack anything, just come. Human beings come, forget that place, there's the good of the land is here. So a rich man, fire catches his house and he goes outside. Is everybody safe? Yes. Daddy, we left our clothes. Don't worry. And then a car comes, carries all of them to another house. The next day he takes them. He says, you know what? Let's travel and go and shop. Let's spend 2 weeks. Because of the incident, we have trauma. Let's go to Dubai and shop new clothes and come. Oh, you like it now? It shall be yours in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, if he was a poor man, thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. If you see a poor man running out of a house that is on fire, you see them running and going back. Because that's the only thing he has. God is bringing us to abundance. Your amen leaks the church card, though. Yes, sir. Let's go to Dubai. We shop for new clothes. Don't worry about that. Then stay 2 weeks. While they are there, 2 weeks, I traveled one time to Abuja. I have this friend of mine who he has refused me staying in hotels. Say his house is enough. I wouldn't go. So maybe he felt I was not going to go to his main house. So got another house somewhere. I said, okay, this one is only me. Come and stay. Man, that house makes sense. So I traveled in March and from the airport they drove me. They say, we'll take you to a lodge that they are doing renovation in the house. I say, what are they renovating in that house?
Meanwhile, the car they are using to drive me is an electric car. I said, what is he renovating in the house? House that when I come back, my own house is like dustbin. And you need to enter my house. It's not dustbin. I try small. Small. I said, I called him. I said, wait till you they renovate for that house. He started laughing. He said, you know, sir, we need to keep the place in shape. Now, wow. So there was abundance in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 1 verse 7. In Exodus chapter 1 verse 7. I know why I'm saying those things. I'm trying to introduce a mentality of abundance. Not waste. Abundance. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Where? In Egypt. They multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. So God can prosper his people even in a foreign land, just the way God can prosper them in a time of famine by moving them to a place of bread. You have seen two stages. The third one, in the wilderness when they left Egypt, God ensured that even though they were in the desert, they still experienced abundance. Psalms 105 verse 37 to 41, even in the wilderness there speaks of hard times, hard seasons. The economy is bad. Inflation is on the rise. Standards of living is dropping. Or standards of living are skyrocketing. Increase in unemployment. When you are living those kinds of harsh situations, there is still a divine provision for God's people. Give me the scripture, please. Psalms 105, verses 37 to 41. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Go on. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering. That was in the wilderness now. So that sun will not smite them by day. He used a cloud to cover them. If it was in our days, he would have ensured they had air conditioning in their car. And a fire to give light in the night, because the night was cold in the desert. So the fire kept them warm and gave them light. This is God prospering his people in hard times. The people asked and he brought quail and satisfied them with bread of heaven. Go on. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in dry places like a river. So even when things are hard around you, God still has a program of sustenance for you. I'm showing you so that you can have a better and a more quality living condition, regardless of your surrounding circumstances. Different moments in the life of a child of God that God still prospers him. The wilderness there talks about hard times. Even in hard times, God can still prosper his children. Many people made millions in COVID. Many people became rich. Even with the way the economy is now, many people are still prospering. Many people are doing well. Some are doing extremely well. Some are doing well for themselves. At least their basic needs are handled and they are not a problem to anybody. So even in crisis, God can still prosper you. So you will need to study all these instances so that you will know how to get by when the going get tough. If, for instance, you are in a season of famine, you will see how God prospered the children of Israel, how God brought Jacob and Israel to a land where there was bread. If you are living among sinners and worldly people, just like Egypt was, and the children of Israel were living there, God can still prosper you within a corrupt and a worldly system. If you are going through hard times personally, you are going through your wilderness season, God is still working on you. He has not really given you the blessing he promised. Even in that time, God will ensure you have food to eat, clothes to wear, and how to get by. Your hunger should not be part of the curriculum. Are you hearing me? Because we didn't know then, we used to think that when you suffer hunger, God is dealing with you. God may take advantage of the situation to see if your heart trusts him, to see if you'll be patient to hold on to him. But God is not the one that introduced the hunger. No, because we see that even in the wilderness, God ensured there was provision for his people. Psalms 107 verse 35 to 38. 107:35-38. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. Wonderful. There he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place. This is how God will change somebody's life. And sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. The place where they are planting is supposed to be a wilderness. But God introduced the wisdom that is able to make them turn what is supposed to look like a wilderness to become a fruitful field, a harvest. That means God can introduce his wisdom in your life in a time of famine, and what was supposed to be minus in your life can become the raw material for a plus. Are you hearing me at all? In that season when things are hard for you, God can give you an idea and you will take advantage of that ugly situation and transform your life. So in every circumstance, every situation in life, God has ensured he has a divine program of abundance and sustenance. Say after me, I will never know lack. Finally, in the promised land, God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 10 to 11 that when they entered the promised land, they were going to inherit houses that they didn't build, trees that they didn't plant, oil well that they did not drill. These were people that were in the wilderness getting by with provision per day. But a season can come where God improves your quality condition, the quality of your living condition, in such a way that you have enough to spare. The prodigal son said to himself, he said, how many servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare? And I am here languishing in hunger. That means even the season of prosperity is also brought by God. The season of abundance. Abundance is yours in the name of Jesus. I said abundance is yours in the name of Jesus. You know abundance, when you want to fuel is full tank. Not 2 liters, 5 liters. Wind up the glass so that exhaust. And you know they say if you are speeding and the glass is not wind up, you go to suck more fuel. All those strategies of minimizing fuel, it can be informed by poverty. But when God blesses you and smiles on you, you know, when God blesses a man in Nigerian vernacular, they say, God, pick your call. What of when God call you? If God pick your call, you will spend airtime. But if God call you, it's on his airtime, on his bill. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Palandro kotele mahasai. God is opening a season to us, so I'm telling you. By the end of this series, many of you will stumble into sudden riches. I'm telling you. There's no way this series will come and go and your life doesn't change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is opening the storehouses of heaven for somebody. God is releasing the angels of the storehouses for you. God is releasing the angels of the basket for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is bringing you to a place of abundance. Where abundance is natural. Where surplus supply is natural, is normal. A place where you become a blessing to others. A place where you become an answered prayer to others. Faith for supernatural supply. I've shared all this to show you how that you can have faith to believe God that this can be your experience. There is an understanding of the word of God that builds your faith to be able to believe God and move from poverty, from lack, into sufficiency, into riches,
into abundance. Nobody should deceive you that if you get rich, somebody say, hey, maybe God doesn't want me to be rich because if I become rich, I will not serve God. I'll become an unbeliever. No, sir. It's possible that you are rich and serve God. Yes. It's possible. I went to the house of one rich man one time and he took me to his prayer room. The prayer room is underground. It's a basement. Rugged everywhere. The original of this pulpit, that one that is one point something, was there. I say, is this a prayer chapel or a prayer room? He said, no, it's prayer room. That was the first time I entered a bedroom and I saw everything you will need in the house represented in the bedroom. Microwave, fridge, this one. That, so you can stay there for 1 week and be with God. You can be ascending to heaven and when you descend back, you eat food. When you ascend to heaven, you eat angels' food. When you come back in flesh, you eat. I say, what is this? I say, somebody lied to us that poverty, there's any sanctification around poverty. And the person I'm talking about, he prays, he knows God, he sees visions. He hears from God. I say, no. It's possible to prosper and know God. In fact, you can't know God and not prosper. Even if it's not happening now, someday it will happen for you. So tonight I want to teach you how to believe God for supernatural supply. Many of us will need this when you are going through your wilderness season. When there is an emergency and you need God to come through. Many of you will need this as a force of faith that will break you and your family out of impoverishment to riches. You know, faith always has a corresponding action. The end of faith is that there is an action that you take. The sign to know that you have faith is that you take certain actions because you have faith that God will do what he said he will do. So I want to share with you actions of faith that provoke supernatural supplies. You want to live in abundance? You want to experience supernatural supplies? These are the actions you will take that will force your faith to open up doors of supply. To pay that rent, to ensure that your needs are met, to bring back that business that is dying, to pay off debts. I hear in my spirit that in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm prophesying this. There is somebody here, God is empowering you to pay all the debts of your family. That's a prophetic word for somebody. God will use you to settle all the debts of your family. No, those kind of people, they call them illustrious sons. Number one, actions of faith that provoke supernatural supplies. Thanksgiving. You want to experience supernatural supply? What it means to lie down in green pasture, to dwell in abundance, a life where the supply comes even before you pray, and there's no opportunity for you to beg. Somebody said, one man told his wife one day, he said, please, for my lunch today, I want to eat garri and granut. The wife said, is there any problem? Are you sick? He said, no. Just soak garri and granut for me. I want to eat. Why? He said, I want to remember those days when I was poor. So the wife now put ice block, put milk, and then started shouting that this is not garri and granut again. Then the wife told him, it's impossible for you to have just garri and granut. Need I remind you that you are blessed? Number one action of faith to enjoy supernatural supply, thanksgiving. Jeremiah 30 verse 19, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them. Why? Because they give thanks. I will multiply them. So what is the key to multiplication? Thanksgiving. One loaf, give thanks with it, it becomes five. Two fish, give thanks with it, it can feed 5,000 men. Thank God in your lack and move to abundance. complaining your lack, remain there. Thanksgiving. In John chapter 6 verse 11 to 13, when they brought the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to Jesus, he didn't complain that it was a small ration compared to the number of people he'll feed. The Bible says he gave thanks. He lifted it up to heaven and gave thanks. And after he had given thanks, he distributed it. Look at the language. Distribute. You should say share. Now 5 bread. Share. Distribute. Is it a whole bakery? But thanksgiving turned 5 loaves to become a whole bakery. Remember, Philip told Jesus, he said, even if you buy bread worth 200 denarii. About 5-6 years ago, I was calculating and I realized 1 denarii, which was a currency in ancient Jerusalem, 1 denarii was $20. About 5-7 years ago. So if 1 denarii is $20, then 7-8 years ago, 20 times 200, $4,000. Somebody say, even if you buy bread worth $4,000, that's a bakery. You can start 2 bakeries with that. Get the mixing machine. You don't start bakery now. Yet, with what he mocked, Jesus gave thanks. You can't say that you are in lack if you have not given thanks. God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Thanksgiving. Are you hearing me? Thanksgiving. Thank God. Bishop Oyedepo said of a family, all they had for dinner was water. And they said, Father, thank you for water. Drank it and slept. The next morning, 2 bags of rice was in front of their door. I'm sure God gave 2 because God didn't plan that they should sleep hungry. So take the second bag for consolation. Thanksgiving. Why should you thank God? As an action of faith to supernatural supply. Because God is with you always. When you are rich, when you are broke. When there is abundance, when there is lack. God is with you always. There is an assurance that you can walk with knowing that God is with you in the midst of your pain. My problem is not what you are going through. My question is not what you are going through. My question is who is with you in what you are going through. If it is God, then there's no need for me to pity you. Because God can turn a wilderness to become a pool of water. He can turn a dry land to become springs of water. The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of poverty, I will fear no evil. I put poverty because that's what we're talking about. He said, for thou art. Thank God, number one, because he's always with you. Number two, because God is fully aware of your current situation. You don't need to tell God that you are broke. He knows you are broke. And he has already fixed it even before you got to the situation. And number three, you thank him because God, who provided before, can and will provide again. Yes, so. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that provided for you last year is still alive. The God that saw you through the good days when you had all kinds of NGO jobs moving from one organization to the other before Donald Trump's policy came. That God is still alive. It's not Donald Trump that you are sustained by. It is God of heaven. Remember how you got the job? Remember how you entered the humanitarian cycle? Was it not God? Was it not the favor of God? Was it not the mercy of God? You know that you didn't qualify for that first job, but God gave you. Because you have moved from enumerator to manager. All of a sudden, you now think because of one policy, you are going back there. No, sir. That same God is still alive. He's still alive. That's why you must thank him. And when you thank him, you are provoking doors of supply.
just keep thanking him. Before the month ends, thanking him every day, you will see the hand of God. Many of us complain too much. You either complain or grumble in your heart, or you complain with your mouth. Some people have gone from complaining and grumbling to despair. They have complained and discovered nothing has been done. So they've given up and decided that this is how I will be. Can you start thanking him again? Even with nothing. Fathers, I'm going home. I know there's no food in the house, but I thank you because this night I will not sleep hungry. I don't know how it will happen, but food is coming from somewhere. Are you not the God that fed Elijah in the wilderness with ravens? They brought bread and meat. They brought what they need. Ravens are hungry bird, and they brought what they need. God can use people to bless you with what they need. That's the kind of God we serve. Lord, I know that before this month ends, my miracle job is coming. This, my business, will bounce back. I'm going from micro to medium scale. You thank him. At first, when you start it, you look like a fool, but continue. That path, many people have trodden on it, and they have succeeded. You will not be the first to thank God and see supernatural supply provoked. God is not asking you to experiment a formula. It has been proven before time. Thanksgiving multiplies. Thanksgiving increases. Thanksgiving opens the door to supernatural supply. For all you've given to me. How do you say it? That I once. Thank you, Lord. Even for the blessings I can't see.
Thank you, Lord.
With a grateful heart, say.
With a grateful heart. With a song of praise. With an outstretched arm. I'll bless your name.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I just wanna thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hear me? I like that song. It says, for all you have given to me, and then for all the blessings I cannot see, as you are seated down, as you are here now, you can't see the blessing coming in the next 1 hour. You can't see what's coming in the next 12 hours. You don't know whether by this time tomorrow you'll be a manager. So thank him for what you can't see. Don't leave your life to chance. Thank him because he has got you covered. Begin to thank him as though, even when you don't know, you can't see. Thank him as though he will surprise you. God. If I don't serve God, I won't serve anyone. Tell Amadioha that. Tell Shango. No. There's nothing they can offer me that this God, I've not seen this God do. I told somebody yesterday, we were discussing yesterday, I told you I was going to give, we were talking about a brother, I said I was going to give him some money in 50s. I saw times 20 of that money today. I said, God, I didn't ask for money. I didn't call the figure so that you not point a gun on my head. Did he tell me he was going to do it? So you thank him. Oh, you're already standing. Thank him for 1 minute. Thank him. I just wanna thank you. I just wanna thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh.
I just wanna
thank you for your family.
Lord.
Thank you for all that he has given you.
Thank
you for the future that you cannot see.
Lord.
Thank him in the midst of lack.
Thank
him in the midst of abundance.
Lord.
I just wanna thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we are grateful.
We are grateful. Your name be praised forever. For the things you have done and the things you will do. Yes, we may have waited long, but your word says, hope maketh not ashamed. We know that surely someday we will see our Redeemer live. We give you praise. Please be seated. Let's finish the message and pray. Actions of faith that provoke supernatural supply. Number one, thanksgiving. Number two, look for scriptural provisions that tally with your needs. Look for scriptural provisions that tally with your needs. What I mean is, you have a need in your life. Go to the Word of God and find an instance in the Word of God that addresses your need. In Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16, it says, search from the book of the Lord. Search. You want a miracle job? It is possible. How do you know it is possible? Can you search in scripture for a place where God did a miracle? If you can find one, it means that this thing you are believing God for is possible. I was talking with somebody last week who is preparing for exam. And I opened the Bible and I showed the person. I say, the king tested Daniel and his friend. And the Bible says that he find Daniel and his friends 10 times better. That means, and that was an examination that they passed. That means God in this examination can make you 10 times better. If you can look for a situation in scripture that shows you a provision for what is similar to what you are going through, then it is as good as done. Isaiah 34 verse 16 says, search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her meat, for my mouth has commanded it. That's why you should believe it when you see it in the word, because it is his mouth that commanded it. He's committed to what he commanded. God is committed to what he has commanded. You want to buy a car? Can you find somewhere? You may not see a car in scripture, but you can see in scripture where people, by the favor of God, purchased something that was more than them. They had small money, but was able to purchase what they were going for, even though what they were going for was higher in cost than that. Psalms 44 verse 3. The Bible says, they got not the land by the sword of their arm. It says, but because you favored them. So God can favor and bless your 4 million. Can 4 million buy a very good car when it is favored? And then somebody will say, distress sale, and sell you a car that is costing 10 million. Yes. Oh, that's how to provoke supernatural supply. Find in the word of God. Apostle Johnson Suleiman, God's servant, said he was traveling to another nation for crusade one time. His passport was full. No space for visa. The last place, they stamped him at the immigration to leave Nigeria. They said, Apostle, what's going to happen? There's no space. They will need to stamp you there and stamp you out. He said, don't worry. When we get there, we'll know what will happen. And then he began to pray, and then the Holy Ghost spoke to him. The Holy Ghost said, can you find a scripture for me that will do this miracle? Then he began to brainstorm script. That's now you don't know Bible. You see where the problem is? That's why when your pastor is telling you it is possible, you are arguing with him. It's not possible. You think you are like him. He's not like you, who is deficient in scripture. One of the greatest things I thank God I did in my life was when I was small, to memorize scripture. Not cartoon, scripture. He began to brainstorm, and then he found a place in Psalms 105 verse 13 to 14. He said, when they moved from nation to nation and from kingdom to kingdom, when they were strangers in the land, he said, he suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake. They moved from nation to nation and he suffered no man to do them. He shouted, he said, I've gotten it. I've gotten the scripture. He told his guys, he said, don't worry. This problem will be solved. They got to the other nation. They met a lady at the immigration desk. She said, oh, Apostle, there's no place in your passport. But you know what? I have to be in that program. I'm coming for that program. Stamp on top an already existing visa. Went for the program.
When he finished the program, he was coming back. He said, now there's trouble. I may not meet the same person there. And they will say, who did this? And there will be a problem. When he was approaching the immigration desk, guess who he saw? The same lady. Ah, you are still here? Yes, so apostle, somebody fell sick and they said, I have to do the person's shift. So I did overtime. He said, what are we going? He said, no, I'm stamping you out. Stamp. He went back. When you have a mission, you see, I don't know what kind of destiny you have, but you need to know the word of God well enough that opens you to a world of possibilities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Find a place in scripture that looks like what you are going through. If he did it before, if he will do it again, same God right now, same God. Find a place. Listen, every anointing I walk with, there is a scripture for it. I don't go during miracle service, I don't go begging God. Oh God, move! No, I don't do that. I need to be anointed for a miracle service. Micah chapter 3 verse 8. But I am full of power as by the Spirit of God. Is that not true? All right. Then I begin to pray on that scripture. If the scripture is like grapes, I press it till the juice come out. And I come here, the power must show. Find a scriptural proof. Many of us, the problem is there is no place in scripture that can authorize what you are believing God for. So your faith is hanging. You want to get married? There's a scripture for that. You want to have a beautiful home? There's a scripture for that. You don't want your children to be crying in the night when they give birth to them? There is a scripture for that. Okay. You don't want your children to be stubborn? There is a scripture for that. And your children shall be taught in the fear of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. You have given birth to two children. You don't have one scripture that you can hold on to that is a promise of God for their. There's a book I have in my shelf, Supernatural Childbirth. Every aspiring mother and every lady who wants to get married should find that book and read. The book will show you scriptures that you can even determine the color of their fingernails, their hands, their physical morphology with scripture. The problem with our young people these days is we don't even read before marriage. We just jump in. So we are ignorant of many things. There's enough provision in the word of God. Number three. Pray. Tell your neighbor, pray. I'm rushing because of time. Number three, pray. James chapter 5 verse 16. The effectual and fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. Sometimes you need to pray to open those doors. Sometimes God has released the supply for you, but it's hanging somewhere. It's hanging somewhere with somebody who is sick with the sickness of procrastination. God told them to bring that business deal to you tomorrow. They say they will bring it the next week. Your prayer will provoke them out of their procrastination and give you a miracle. Somebody's laziness can bring somebody's delay. Somebody's procrastination can bring somebody's delay. So you pray. Now that you know it has escaped from heaven to earth, but Satan is manipulating human obstacles to keep it, your prayer needs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of my mentors those days, a very revered man of God, I think he's the chairman of PFN in Nasarawa State now. My brother will know him. I love the man. He was a man of faith. Somebody told me that he has a prayer squad, and he called them one day. He said, I've been sensing that God is going to give me a new car this season. Then he gathered them. He said, let's pray for 7 days. Whoever is holding that car, no rest until you release it. And before 7 days was over, a brand new Sienna showed up. I say, now so it be. You have to pray. Some demons that are delaying the breakthrough, you have to pray them out of the way. Blast them with prayers.
Somebody that doesn't want to sign. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody can tell you no today. Thank you, sir. Go back. Stand on his head in prayers. The next day he will call you. Come. I'll give you. Prayer. You know, there's a warfare dimension to abundance, where the devil will do everything he wants or he can to ensure that you don't get it. But the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taketh it. How? How will you take it? It will not just be given to you like speech and prize giving day. Take, you carry it first. Now lie. The devil doesn't play by the rules. He's an agbero. He's an area boy. It's your own, yes, but I won't give you. You will not give me. Stand in prayers. The devil release it by force. Some of you, the wealth of your family is hanging on one tree somewhere. Hanging in one shrine. Closed in one calabash. Manipulated by one spirit. Summon your arsenal of prayer and bulldoze every gate of hell and break into it. Pray. Pray. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known. Ask him with thanksgiving. So you must pray. Number four, exercise faith based on the spoken word. Exercise faith based on the spoken word. That's another action of faith that can provoke supernatural supply. Exercise faith. There are many things in the word of God that tells us what to do to provoke divine supply. You can exercise your faith by doing those things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For instance, there is a blessing called the blessing of first fruit. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. It says, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Now, as an action of faith, you can take that scripture and release your first, and then you will enter into abundance. You will still be a Christian if you don't do it. But it's just that if you do it, you can walk the word. Tell your neighbor, walk the word. Exercise faith based on the spoken word. Number five, be expectant. Be expectant. Be on the lookout for available divine channels for supply. When you have asked God and you have thanked him and you have exercised faith, now go out ready to receive. Be expectant. Open your laptop. Look at all the things you have online. Look at that account and expect that in 2 days' time there should be $300 there. Expect thousands of dollars. Expect profit. You are a forex trader. Why are you only thinking of loss? Is it because you have made so much losses? Expect to win. Expect to gain. Expect that God has touched somebody's heart to bless you. That before the day ends, he daily loads us with benefit. Be expectant. Many people don't receive from God. Many people are not candidates of supply because they are not expectant. Expect. The Bible says, they that seek the Lord will not work any good thing. You came here as a sign that you seek God. That means as you live here, you should expect something good to happen. Whether you want it in your finance or in your business or in anything around you. But they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. That means every Sunday I come to the house of God, there is a bonus waiting for me. Expect it. If it doesn't come that Sunday, the next day, just wait as though it's coming. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when he arrives, say, I was waiting for you. Number what now? Number six, give. Give. You want to provoke supernatural supply? Give. Tell your neighbor, give. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be. No give, and what will happen? Give. This is where many Christians have a problem. Some people so have a problem with giving that now they have joined all those people criticizing those who preach on prosperity. Their own criticism is not coming from a pure heart. It's just because they are stingy. They have a problem with giving. So they need to look for a campaign against that. My brother, give. My brother, give. All these things that you have been holding, What if nobody give me again? That's the reason why you are still poor. Give. Obey the law of seed time and harvest. It's still under giving. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. Galatians 6:7. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. You sow money, you reap money. You sow nothing. But apostle, it's all I have. You will not be the first to give all you have. The widow gave. And she did not give and go to Jesus and say, I must get the harvest now. She gave and left. You know, there are some people like that. They can't part with their last. Once they drop it, they will disturb God until God returns it back. As though God is a loan shark. As if God is like those people that used to borrow from apps online. And they will not pay and they will run away. Zechariah 8 verse 12. Let me show you something. Giving is powerful. See, there may be a point where you give and it will not be coming back. But after a while, if you are consistent, somehow God will find a way. For the seed shall be prosperous. What will be prosperous? The seed. What do you do with a seed? You eat it. You sow it. The vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give an increase. Look at everything is responding with blessing. Why? Because a seed was sown. He said, and even the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of these people to possess all these. Why? Because somebody gave a seed. Giving is not just giving to charity alone or blessing people alone. Investment is also a giving. Yes, investment is also a giving. Give a portion to seven and also to... is also a giving. It's you that didn't know. Because there are some of you, you give. And you are thinking that by just giving it will be coming back. No, that law doesn't just work like that. No. It's a law. So it will look for legitimate channels to return back. Who gave? A businessman. So God will find a channel through your business to bless you. Who gave? A lazy man. It's difficult for God to bless. What are you doing by which I can bless you? Oh yeah. That's the reason why many of us give and we don't receive. Because there is no channel to route the blessing. Who gave? A pastor. Definitely God will look for somebody to bless you. If it's not your member, somebody from outside. God can even use a pastor outside to bless you. And just in case all the members are blind, he will use a pastor from outside to bless you. Who gave? A manager in a company. God will, he will find a way through what you do. So as much as giving freely, being generous is giving, giving as investment is also giving. When we say so, we are not just saying drop money. No. Look for profitable systems to invest. There is he that scattereth and increases. What does it mean to scatter? He just went and threw money anyhow. No. Scatter means he invested in this business. He gave this one. Invested in that business. Invested here. And he increased because he did many investments. And then there is he that is afraid of investing. He withhold more than is due. And he ends in poverty. Verse 25. He says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that waters shall be watered. So Proverbs 11:24-25 gives you two kinds of giving. The first one talks about giving as an investment. The second one talks about giving as in generosity. Those two, God, they bless them. Just because a pastor say, oh, I gave them, somebody came and gave. Wait, first of all, if you think that pastor, every week, he's committed to the preaching and teaching of the word of God, changing, transforming, and improving the quality of people's life. He's working. His work. You think it's easy to stand and talk? I've been talking here. You know the heat. It's 41 degrees. Some of you have been drinking water again and again. But as I've been talking here, no water in my body. When I finish, I will come down and see a line of people not charging anybody. And you think I go and God will not bless me? I'm serving people. So don't think that your own giving will not be like Pastor. Oh, no, he's doing something. You are not there when they call him in the midnight to pray on a dead body and he jerks back to life. To pray on a woman who is dying on the theater table and she is healed. Don't worry, next week we'll talk about the other side. So that we understand how the laws of God works. So give. Tell the neighbor, give. Hit your neighbor and say, give. Yes, hit out that stinginess from them and say, give, my brother, give, give. Don't hit too much, oh, before you may be hitting your destiny helper. Oh. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, tell him sorry now. Give. Number what? Be friendly and kind to the poor. Sorry, be friendly and kind to people. Be friendly and kind to people. Hebrews 13 verse 1 to 2. It says, let brotherly love continue, and that we should not be careful to entertain strangers. For some have unwillingly entertained angels. Be kind to people. You want to provoke supernatural supply? What are you doing for people? A man that wants friends must deserve to be friendly. You are living only for you, yourself, and you. When was the last time, from January till now, how many lives were touched by you? Apart from your children's school fees, have you paid another child's school fees? No, Apostle, I'm a widower. I'm a single parent. Let me just manage with my children. I understand with you. But the word of God is still the word of God. Be committed to changing somebody's life. Be committed to being kind to people, helping people. Job 29, verse 12 to 16. Look at what Job said. There's no way you are committed to helping people that God will not be committed to your own needs. He said, because I delivered the poor who cried out. It's not God, though. I. The poor cried to God. God said, go and meet Job now. Don't stop disturbing me. And the poor went to Job. Job said, how much is your rent? 350,000. I'll settle it. You want to go to school? How much is the money? 100,000. I'll settle it. You want to buy a landed property? How much do you have? 2 million. It's 2.5. I'll give you 500. Go and price the land. Let's continue. The fatherless and the one who had no helper. I was a helper to them. He said, the blessing of a perishing man came upon me. He was dying because there was no money to put him in the hospital. Then I stepped in and paid all the bills. And he now has life. The blessing of that man. Do you know what it means? Let's continue. And I caused the widow's heart. No, go back. Don't dodge that one. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Especially when it's a poor widow. She's not singing because she really loves God sometimes. Because food has been provided. When we did welfare for students here, I got all kinds of messages and all kinds of, oh, Papa, thank you. We didn't know what to do. We had exhausted our provision. If not for that one, it was a timely intervention. This one. So if I delayed it, somebody would have cursed God and go to bed hungry. Now I'm propelled to do more. When we went to build, over almost 150 widows and orphans, relief materials, more than 1.something million naira spent, medical outreach, treating people, all kinds of situations. Then in the evening we do the crusade. And you don't collect any offering and you come back and you think you'll be poor. Even if your enemies gang up against you, God will look at that man and say, he can't go down. He can't be poor. You people say he's preaching the wrong thing. He did this and that, but look at what he's doing. I can't lose this asset. Give me Psalms 41 verse 1 to 3. Look at this blessing. Some of you, we don't practice some things because we don't know the blessings attached to it. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Say amen to that. He said the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Even if 12 witches write his name on a piece of paper and they are making incantation, the Bible says the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Why? Because he helps the poor. And he will be blessed on the earth.
He said, you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Be careful the person you criticize. If they are committed to showing kindness to people, just go and meet God to settle the matter between you and that person. Because wish evil from now to tomorrow, they will never go down. God is a good businessman. Who will help those poor people? You can read the rest when you go. One of the ways to provoke supernatural supply, be kind to people. The way you want God to show you favor, show somebody favor. You be a destiny helper to somebody. Then God, who is the helper of the helpless, will help you. Be to somebody what you want God to be to you. And that's what you see. Number what now? Carry a cheerful countenance. Carry a cheerful countenance. Don't go about looking sad and miserable. Be happy. Psalms 126 verse 6. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless rejoice, return again rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves, the harvest. How did he bring it? He returned rejoicing. Be cheerful. Some of us carry strong faces. That's why even the people that should bless you on the daily don't bless you. You come to church and squeeze your face as if you are doing God a favor. And the person who should have blessed you say, Kai, this one is not in the talking mood. Let me just go. And he brought $100 to give you. But because your face, you are annoyed. Why are they taking time in church? You just squeeze your face like that there. Some, I don't even laugh. I laugh at people who leave early. God may have spoken to somebody. Say, when you get to church, look for this sister. She's in social department. After the service, see her and give her a job. She left before the service was over. Bye-bye to the job you are praying for. Bye-bye. Be cheerful. Come to the presence of God and be happy. When camera focus on your face, be excited. Somebody can just hear and say, that's my wife. And that's a multi-millionaire talking. I just love the way you were expressing yourself and happy. I like your cheerfulness. I like that. You know what? Can I have your number? I want us to talk. Next day we talk. You know what? From when I saw you, I just fell in love with you. I don't have time for games. I want to marry you. Not the one that you come to church and just squeeze your face and stand. I see you are a model. Please. You know, I like that song. Give me chance. Oh, I got people that used to squeeze their face. Some people, even on the normal, they never smile. All these are protocols. Smile after today. Oh. Don't burn your face all through the week. Smile. You are never smile. You are always spiritual. Well, enjoy spirituality and poverty. Smile. Be cheerful. Be happy. Even when things are not good, smile. Some people don't need money. What they just need is smile. And once they can get that smile from you, they will return with money. Listen, we breathe out carbon dioxide. But that's what the plants need. They take it in and then release oxygen to us. One smile can do so much wonders. Smile. Hallelujah. Ah. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Let's finish up now. Number 9. Oh, for that number 8 point, Psalms 105 verse 43 to 44. Number 9. Save from what is supplied. When God has supplied, keep some back. Save some. Don't eat all. Market woman, don't eat all. You eat everything plus the capital. Then you come for miracle service. Apostle pray, my business has you. Now you killer. You are the murderer. There are some husbands that their wives are selling markets. Their wives are business people. Their husbands are the one killing the business because they buy on credit. Buy on credit. Save some. What you are saving becomes a seed for another miracle in another time of need.
John chapter 6 verse 12 to 13, Jesus told them, he said, when they are eating and they were filled, he said, gather the fragments together. Even the remnants. He said, don't lose anyone. And the Bible says the remnants filled 12 baskets. I hope you know another time Jesus said 4,000 people. It was from the remnants of this one. Every miracle carries a supply in it for another time. Save. No matter what happens. Some of you, your excuse is that things are tough. No matter how tough, it is tough. Tough the tough. And keep some. Keep some. If another flawed event happened in Maiduguri and it affects you, what will you do? You'll be homeless again. You didn't learn from that experience? All the work that you have been working, where's the worth? No savings. If anything happens now, we all of us need to vacate from Maiduguri. How many of you have at least enough savings to take you out? At least take you out. Then God will now do a miracle for you in another place. How many of you? You've eaten everything. Because you are the only one that has need. Now I'm talking especially to the young people. There are some ladies that will never save because their boyfriend shall supply all their needs. Same with some wives. My husband shall supply all my need. They will eat everything and they will not spend it on anything good. But they want to know what their husband is spending his money on. But they will not spend their own on anything good. You don't even have at least one gold necklace in your box. That when things go tough, you can take it and sell. And from that money, God can do a miracle that will make you bounce back. Elisha asked the widow. He said, oh widow, what will I do for you? What I pray thee, what do you have in your hand? The woman came asking for help. We are still asking for what she has in her hand. That's because in every supply, there is a fraction you must keep for another time. Wise woman, she didn't use it to fry akara that morning. I'm sure when she was leaving, the children said, let's just fry akara and eat now. Say, no, leave the oil first. And that oil became the raw material for a miracle. You, what will God multiply? How much is in your domiciliary account? Nothing. And you have been working and earning. Now, with that attitude, you expect God to bless you. God is supplying to a basket with holes. Because you can't keep anyone. Say after me, I will not spend all. I will not suffer from the eat all syndrome. Husbands and wives, listen to me. Make a covenant within yourself to save. Don't allow your wife to come and ruin you financially. Don't allow your husband to come and plunge you to poverty. You were doing good while you were single. Now that you got married, it's now a calamity. Why? Because you are a saver, but the other person is a spender. Some people cannot rest until they spend everything. Everything must go. Just like Ghana must go. Everything must go. Some people, they don't have control on their bank account. If you don't spend anything in a day, will you die? Is it every time you must transfer? Pay with cash sometimes and keep the money in the account. That will be the raw material for another miracle. We need to teach it to, because I don't know what set of believers we are raising these days. See, a wealthy unbeliever, anything that happens, he bam, hits the plane, moves to another place, there's enough money to start life. Water just entered some people's house and they were homeless for 1 week. They started crying. I agree that you may not have much now, but that's why you are learning it, so that it can help you. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. I believe that God supplies. I'm an advocate for it. I've seen it in my life, but I'm not a fool. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not on salary, but if anything happens and we need to leave this town, I will leave here and go to another place and it won't change my living condition. It's not just savings. There are systems in place already. I'm not a fool. That will even be enough for me to be a miracle to another person. And I didn't say that so that you can come and meet me after the service and ask for money. Are you blessed so far? And then finally, before we pray, remember God.
Remember God. Under the last point, number 9, John chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. He said, the Lord will release the blessing on your storehouses. Your storehouses, that's where God will release the blessing. Your savings account. When you don't have any savings, no storehouse, no blessing. Proverbs 21, verse 20. I think I should read that Proverbs 21, verse 20. The Living Bible Translation. It says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. So save. Number 10, remember God. How do you remember God? Offer thanksgiving and gratitude to Him when He has done it. Live for Him now that you are experiencing abundance and divine supply. Under remember God, sow to your prophet. Yes, so. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to 41. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sends me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Is one of the ways to enjoy supernatural supply. Sow to your prophet. I know nobody wants to tell you because every pastor is afraid of being criticized, but it's the truth. It's an ancient secret that works. Sow to your prophet. Our patriarchs in the faith practice it. Bishop Oyedepo will tell you about his connection with Archbishop Idaosa of blessed memory, with Kenneth Copeland, with this one, with that one. Sow to your prophet. Some of you, your prophet will never eat your money. I don't want to add in Jesus' name, because if I add to it, you are going to be poor very soon. When God has authorized a voice over your life, it's a mystery. I don't know how it happens. That man can be in lack, but he has something on his head that can prosper people. Paul said it. He said, we being poor, making many rich. I'm not talking about a fraudster who calls himself a prophet. I'm not talking about a joker or somebody who doesn't have work to do and he jumps into ministry. No. A sincere, genuine, honest man of God. And you know this one is genuine. And he carries ororo. Not oil. Ororo. So, I'm telling you, it works wonders. It works wonders. When we were to hold our Abuja Glory Summit, God spoke to me while in prayer. He said, take this seed. When you get to Abuja, give to this man of God. Give to this man of God. Give to this one. The last one was God's servant, Dr. Paul Enenche. I said, God, I don't even have his account. How can I see? He said, take it and drop it in Glory Dome. As I landed Abuja, we drove straight to Glory Dome. I reached there, dropped the seat, left. They saw what happened in the program. You think it's easy to do program in Abuja? It's not easy. When you hear hall, 1 million. Just hall, minus instrument. So to your prophet. There are times when I'm about to plunge into lack. And I push some seeds to some prophets that God has placed over my life. And it happens like magic. One of them, when I had the privilege of meeting, he said, you, I've been seeing all these your seeds that you have been sending. You, what? I said, sir, don't worry. That's our secrets. He said, okay, you give me your account number. I said, no, sir, it's okay. He said, no, my money is anointing. My money is not. I said, thank you, sir. I don't send till today because there's no need. Are you ready to pray tonight? Practice these 10 points and you will experience supply. There's still so much more that we will learn. So you'll be my guest next week. But for now, please rise on your feet. Open your mouth in 2 minutes and give God thanks. Thank Him for the word that you have received. Thank Him for the word that you have received. Thank Him because He has opened your eyes. Oh, with what you know right now, you are about to step into supernatural supply. Lift your voice and give Him praise in 30 seconds. You get the glory. You get the praise. You take the honor. We just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get
praise.
You take the honor.
You take the honor.
We just wanna say
thank you.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
You take the honor.
You take the honor.
We just wanna say
thank you.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get praise.
You take the honor.
You take the honor.
We just want to say
thank you.
We come back to say
thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, thank you. For everything you've done, we've come back to say
thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, before we close tonight, all through this series, hear me, I want you to make up your mind to receive the word and to practice it. Some of us, the problem is in practicing what we hear. We hear and we walk out of here and tomorrow we've forgotten. But these are truths that can bail you out in times of need. These are systems hung upon revelations that can improve the quality of your living. We're going to ask God for grace to put to practice the things that we are hearing and forever change our financial fortunes in the name of Jesus. That's the last prayer before we close. Open your mouth and talk to God. Some of you need to pray for consistency in practicing. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Malakos karadabai. For some of you, one point or the other is where you are defaulting. The grace to put to practice. The grace to save. The ability to search the scriptures for scriptural provisions of the things I'm believing God for. The grace to cultivate the habit of thanksgiving. Please talk to God. Talk to Him. Some of us grumble a lot, but I want to start being thankful for all the things that I've received. So in my life, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, say, my life. One more time, say, in my life. Hey. Please lift your hands. I want to speak a blessing over you. You have heard the word. God wants to release an empowerment so that we can become doers of the word. And I start with that to say in the name of Jesus Christ, as your hands are lifted, God is placing upon you grace to become a doer of the things that you have heard. To become a consistent practitioner of the things that you are hearing. I pray that you will have the heart to believe everything you have heard tonight and all that you will hear all through this series. Believe it well enough to practice it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I release you into a season of financial fortunes, into a season of supernatural supply. I declare, let the door for supernatural supply be opened for you this season. Be open for you this season. I said it is open for you this season. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to that person who is in need right now. I decree and declare that before this series is over, God is meeting you at the point of your need. Everyone that is in debt, I declare by the favor of God, those debts will be written off before the end of this series. Every hand that is empty, I declare, receive abundance in the name of Jesus. I banish lack from your life from today. In the name of Jesus Christ. From today, you will walk with the faith that believes God for supernatural supply. You will not know a day of lack in your life. And I decree and declare that this supernatural supply that we are teaching in this series, it will become a reality in your life and it will flow from you to your family. It will extend from you to your friends. It will extend from you to your community. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Now clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Clap and give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now before we close, everybody standing everywhere. When I was praying this afternoon, I told the Lord, I said, even if it is a financial series, let the conviction of your word hit the hearts of people so that we can have souls saved and have people return back to Jesus. I'm giving an opportunity now for somebody to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Not to just know him as the head or the prophet of religion. Not to know him as one whose name is called in church. But to know him as your Lord and your Savior. You see, many times Jesus performed miracles for people before they were saved. For instance, the blind man, Jesus healed him. And much later when Jesus met him, he said, go and sin no more. The woman with the issue of blood, go, your faith has made you whole. God can meet your immediate needs by supplying financial resources in hope that that will turn you towards him. You are here and you want to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You want to be born again. You want to be saved. You want to have a personal relationship with him. I'm giving you an opportunity now to meet Jesus. Or you are here and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Perhaps you have spent your life pursuing the wrong things and forgotten about Jesus. You want to return back and be serious with him. You have discovered today that those who seek the Lord will not lack any good things. And you have realized that you have been pursuing shadows. And you want to know him that giveth all good things. This is also an opportunity for you. Wherever you are going to pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. And I believe you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Your life has changed. You are born again. You now are a child of God and you have the life of God. Please, if you made that prayer with me, raise your right hand. I want to see you. I want to pray for you and speak over your life briefly before we go. If you made that prayer with me, just raise your right hand. Let me see you. I'm still looking to see. God bless you. There's one there. God bless you. Please pick your Bible and your bags. Come to the front quickly. I want to pray for you. I want us to keep clapping as we celebrate God for souls. Jesus said there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. It's okay to prosper, but it's everything to be saved. Please clap as they come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting for you. You are returning to Jesus. Be glorified. Keep clapping, they are coming. I give you 10 more seconds. Be You are surrendering to the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who is able to change your life. Hallelujah. I want you to stretch your hands towards them. Please lift your right hand, those of you in front. Father, by the confession of their lips, they are saved and they are now born again. We declare from today that they will walk in victory over sin, Satan and death. The grace to serve you and live for you all the days of their lives is planted in their hearts from today. They will go and overcome. And by reason of what you did on the cross, they are saved to prosper and to enjoy supernatural supply. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Look at me. You have made the best decision of your life. You are born again. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. God is giving you a new book, not just a new chapter. He wants to bless you and he wants you to enjoy the life that he brought to this earth. Please, I want you to, first of all, make sure you are here next Sunday. Okay? There's so much you need to hear that will change your life. And God will do you good in Jesus' name. Number two, please turn to your left. That lady standing there who is waving is our counselor. Walk straight to her and she will take you to our counselors to attend to you. Please celebrate them as they go.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.